Hello, I'd like to talk to you about first love. So in Revelation chapter 2, in the letter from Jesus to the church in Ephesus, Jesus says this: I know your works, your persistent, wearisome labor, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you have patiently endured for my name's sake, and that you have not grown weary. But then Jesus says this: but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. And then he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. So Ephesus, we can actually go to the Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. That is the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians. Jesus is writing to the Ephesians. So Paul tells the Ephesians this in the last part of Ephesians 1, that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above. I'm talking far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. So in this age right now, and he put all things under his feet. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, Paul tells us that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Where? Back to Ephesians 1. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. All the enemies, all your enemies are under your feet. All the enemies of God under our feet in Jesus Christ. But we have to return to that place of first love. So what is that place of first love? Well, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it tells us exactly what it is. He says, John says to us, we love because he first loved us. And in verse 10, he says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. First love. Return to your first love. So the Ephesians, much like Martha, right? They're working hard serving Jesus. And Martha gets mad at Mary, who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says to Martha, Mary has chosen the better thing. What is that better thing? First love. So in John 6, they ask, what must we be doing to do the works of God? This is the work of God, Jesus says, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe and trust in the steadfast love of God. Back to Romans 5. While we were weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would barely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So whatever you've done, it's forgiven, nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Run into your Father's arms. Do not shrink back in shame. God loves you. One time, my wife, she's like, I love you. And I'm like, why? And she says, no reason. If there's a reason, it could change. And I was like, boom. And it just struck me. That's how God is. He loves you for no reason. No reason. He does not love you more when you do amazing things. He does not love you less when you sin and you screw up. God loves you because it's who he is. It's his nature and his character. God is love. God is love. And that love is always for you and always towards you. I have this picture of stepping under this constant flowing waterfall. And it's God's love, and I can always step under that waterfall of love. I do before I do evangelism, before I share the gospel. I try to remind myself, I rest and receive, I relax my neck and shoulders, and I receive God's love, no matter what I've done that day. No matter if I've been snippy with my wife, or no matter if you, whatever you've done, if you've looked at porn, if you've lusted after a woman, if you have gotten angry and been mean to somebody, I don't care what it is, whatever you've done, right now, step into the presence of Jesus, that place of first love, that right now in that place, God loves you and he shows that love. He says, you think I'm mad at you? You think I want to judge you and condemn you? Look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life willingly to free us from all bondage and from sin, to deliver us from the evils in this world, from the condemned world that Adam and Eve put us under. Jesus Christ showed us who God really is, and he is love, and his love is for you. Run into his arms and watch the bondages fall off. Watch them fall off. So in John chapter 15, we all know this chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, Jesus says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He it is who abides in me and I in him. He it is who bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from this place of resting and receiving the love of God, you have to first freely we have been received, then freely we are given. Freely receive that love from God, freely you're going to go love others. I remember 1 John 1, I was reading it and I was feeling condemned because I was still in the world, part one foot in the world, right? And I'm loving the things of the world and I'm not loving my brothers. I'm angry and upset at some of them. And I'm just feeling so condemned because it says the love of the Father is not in him. I'm like, oh no, God, stop loving me. No, that's not what it's saying. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I was not receiving the love of God for me. It had not taken hold and root in my heart. How much God loves me, not because of I'm a good person, not because I've done anything or because I've done works for God, not because of anything else, that God is love and his love is for us. So I stepped under the steadfast, constant love of God. And guess what happened? Yeah, of course if any of you said, we still screw up. Excuse me, we still make mistakes. But God's love is always for you. And you can always step under that waterfall of love and grace and watch what happens in your life. Watch the health that comes, the provision, how you love others, the sins and the bondages that fall off. Just step under the waterfall of God's love. So I'm going to read this poem that came to me as I was, again, became very zealous for God, which isn't a bad thing. And, you know, extravagant worship is beautiful, but sometimes we make it about us and like any other religion, trying to make our way up to God when Jesus came down to us, that, you know, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And for us to believe and receive and to trust in that love, that is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the opposite of every other religion in the world, that our God works for us, that he loves us, that he came to serve us, that the Holy Spirit's our helper and our comforter. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit raises you from the dead into new life, seated far above all your enemies, that you could reign in life by receiving the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. So this poem is kind of in the flair of Jen Johnson's song, A Little Longer. And it's, you know, my prayers, my works for God, my supplications to God, and then God's answer to me. And, you know, not all the prayers are bad ones. We're called to pray for each other. We're called to intercede, cast our cares upon the Lord. But the greatest thing is this place of first love, of sitting and beholding, gazing at the beauty of the Lord, just being in the presence of Jesus, receiving from the abundance, drinking from his well of salvation. So I'm going to go ahead and read this poem. So it starts like this. This prayer that I pray for is wisdom, my Lord. I ask for your grace, for strength to endure. Please fill me with might. Please give me the more. On me, would you please let your spirit pour? I ask for your lordship to rest over me. On me, let the fear of you continue to be. Help me to stay here on bended knee and to bow down my head to you willingly. Give me wise counsel to direct my direction. Teach me how to earn your affection. Please don't let me miss my election and screw up my life and face your rejection. Give me understanding to walk in your ways, the knowledge of your law, all of my days. Please God for these things, today I do pray. Let me hear only what you have to say. I'm walking along this narrow road, feeling like my head might explode, striving for perfection to fit the mold so I can live holy as I've been told. Empower me to keep commands you have sent. Lord, I can surrender like a slave, I consent. When tragedy befalls me, Lord, make me content. Help me not to weep, wail, and lament. I'm desperate for you, Lord. I love you so much, but to love my brother is still really tough. I ask for compassion. I'm still really rough. No matter how hard I try, why? It's never enough. Teach me how to love my brother. Help me to put myself after others. If asked, let me lay down my life for another. All of these things I wish to discover. Your answer comes in a way unexpected. I realize how badly I've been misdirected. With religion and rules I've been injected, I've been seeking approval to be respected. You gently bow down and you whisper to me. You gaze into my eyes so tenderly. My son, all you need do is rest and receive to dwell in my love and only believe. All that you ask for is found in my son. Just let yourself go. With him you are one. He's finished the work. It really is done in your own strength. This race cannot be run. Everything is found in Jesus Christ. All you need do in him is abide, enjoying the beauty of being his bride. So lay down yourself, please lay down your pride. Love is something that cannot be taught. My love for you can never be bought. My love is something I have freely allot. Your striving self-effort have been all for naught. You see, love can never be commanded, nor can it be demanded. No wonder you felt abandoned and stranded. You've been seeking after what's already been granted. The new commandment that has been given has been twisted and dried up by religion, brought to nothing by human tradition, and left my people in a beaten condition. This commandment I give you, abide in my love for you that comes down like a dove. If you so believe in the commandment thereof, you'll have no problem giving others love. My love for you I'm always bestowing, like a waterfall that is always flowing. It's never ending, never slowing, forever. It keeps on going and going. I do not force, so you can put up a wall or step out from under love's waterfall. You can choose to ignore my love's enthrall, or at any time answer love's clarion call. If you let me, I'll show you the greatest romance, a love that's eternal beyond all expanse. But it's up to you to take the bold chance and join me in this celestial dance. So what does it mean with Christ crucified? What does it mean that your old self has died? It's really quite simple. Just be my bride in my steadfast love. Hide and abide. So Father God, I pray for whoever's listening to this, whoever's watching this, they would encounter you right now. That you would touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. That they would feel in their souls, God, in the depths of their heart, your steadfast love, that every lie that's been being believed, that they have to do something to earn it, or that they've fallen out of your favor, God, that they would step out from under that into the truth, Jesus, that you are the truth, that you love them so much. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your presence in our lives, that you are real and that we can have relationship with you, hear your voice, and know how much you love us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.